He is risen. The word of God for our meditation this Easter Tuesday is recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 54. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ our risen Lord, the words of our lesson today are ones that are often spoken at the graveside committal service at a Christian burial. This is one of the first times that I've read them from a pulpit instead of standing next to a closed casket suspended above an open grave. These are the closing words of one of the most famous chapters in all of Scripture, the great resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 begins by making a case for the resurrection of Christ, noting that there are over 500 eyewitnesses who saw Jesus alive after he rose from the dead. And many of these eyewitnesses were still alive when our text was written. It goes on to explain how the resurrection of Christ is the central fact of Christianity. It is the foundation upon which our hope as Christians is built and the fact upon which all the teachings of Christianity depend. Then the chapter becomes more personal, applying the benefits of Christ's resurrection to us and our situation. It explains what Christ's resurrection means for us and our future resurrection. Our text before us paints a picture of the last day with the sights and sounds that will suddenly occur when Christ returns and raises us from the dead. It has been called a hymn of victory over death. There is no more formidable opponent than death, unlike any that we face in our lives. Look at the powerful weapons death employs. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Death has a sting. It doesn't just make your arm swell up or make you go into anaphylactic shock. Its sting is poisonous and deadly. And there is no EpiPen that can be used in its treatment. The sting of sin's poisonous bite was first felt when the serpent sunk his teeth into mankind in the Garden of Eden. This sting, inherited from our first parents, has now spread to all people, showing its symptoms throughout our lives until finally resulting in death. Look at death's track record. Paul explains in the letter to the Romans, sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. As one of my seminary professors was so fond of saying, the death rate of the human race is 100% with 0% margin of error. The strength of sin is the law. The word for sin here is missing the mark. Our best efforts to try to hit the target of righteousness are not good enough. God's law demands perfection, and every time we shoot, we miss. The harder we try to be righteous on our own, the greater the number of misses. The law points out our errors, our disobedience to God in our thoughts, words, and deeds. The law exposes our sin and condemns it. Since there is no one righteous, when we face the law, our theme song is, "I fought the law and the law won." But then, as we face certain defeat, Jesus Christ stepped in to take the strength out of sin by fulfilling the law in our place. The Son of God took upon himself our human flesh to live under the law. He faced the devil's fiery darts, the attacks of temptation in the wilderness and throughout his earthly life, but he deflected them with the shield of God's word. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. Tempted in every way, just as we are, but without sin. And then he took the sting out of death by paying for our sins. He took away the curse we deserve by becoming a curse for us. The battle culminated on Good Friday. As Luther writes in his Easter hymn, it was a strange and dreadful strife when life and death contended. Well, it appeared that the enemy had the upper hand as Jesus breathed his last. His saving mission was completed to destroy the works of the devil. Luther's hymn continues, "Holy Scripture plainly saith that death is swallowed up by death. In vain it rages o'er us. On the third day, Jesus rose triumphantly and declared his victory over death." And by faith in Jesus, his victory over death becomes ours. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And this faith is worked through the word and holy baptism, in which we are buried with Christ and raised with Christ to walk in newness of life. As sharers of Christ's victory, the wrath of the law is removed from us, and God credits us with Jesus' perfect life. We also look forward to the day when we will enjoy this victory in all its fullness. Our text brings us to the day of our own resurrection, when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality. No one knows when that day will be. It will come suddenly, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Like many of us heard during our Easter services, the trumpet will sound. This time, it will not be heralding the resurrection of Christ, but Christ's return and our resurrection. This will be our reveille, when our bodies will be summoned to rise from the sleep of death. The dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Our bodies will be transformed and glorified so they cannot perish, no matter what force is brought against them. The eternal body we receive in the resurrection will be indestructible and cannot die from any disease or age and cannot rot from gangrene or the grave. And when this happens, death is swallowed up in victory. The greedy, insatiable enemy will be forced to succumb and will itself be devoured. The risen Jesus who defeated death will now use it for his own purposes. It will actually become part of the victory. Jesus has repurposed death. From a master of the world, it has become the servant of the great Easter conqueror. From a jailer, it has become a gatekeeper. From a curse, it is changed into a blessing. From the destroyer of all happiness to an usher into happiness that never ends. Now death is not the end, but only a great transition into a perfect, endless state. Since Christ has been raised from the dead, we have a firm foundation for our faith and upon which to build our lives. As participants in his victory, we now live a life of freedom to fulfill our callings. With Christ as our foundation, we trust he is alive to help us in every time of need and that he's powerful enough to do everything he has promised. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Is our hymn of victory over our vanquished foe? At the very graves of those who have fallen asleep in Jesus, we chant this great hymn of victory, knowing that death and grave have lost their power over us who are in Christ Jesus, and that death is to believers the entrance into the eternal joys of heaven. Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Almighty God the Father, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you have overcome death and opened unto us the gate of everlasting life. Grant, we beseech you, that we who celebrate the joy of the Lord's resurrection may rise again from the death of sin by the renewal of your life-giving Holy Spirit to walk in newness of life. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, who reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.